over most of the country, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is recommending everyone wear masks indoors, regardless of vaccination status. That's a reversal from the guidance it offered 2 months ago. Back then, it seemed as if the worst of the pandemic might be behind us. Since then, cases of COVID-19 have surged where vaccination rates were low, and the highly contagious Delta variant is showing up all over the place, including some cases in fully vaccinated people. Here in Wisconsin, health officials in Milwaukee say the numbers are going in the wrong direction. Mayor Tom Barrett recently said while he's focused on getting people vaccinated, he's asking them to put their masks back on when indoors or among crowds.
This is a tough request to make because we felt like we're getting life back to normal. And we really don't want to use the enforcement because we're not sure that it's going to be effective right now.
He also said another mask mandate might be necessary if the situation doesn't improve. Our next guest says officials need to think carefully and set clear benchmarks before they issue new mask requirements. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How does the idea of some kind of mask mandate in your community sit with you? Do you feel like was not having to wear a mask one of the reasons you got the shot? Or are you okay with wearing masks indoors? What do you think needs to be considered before officials issue mask mandates? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Jennifer Nuzzo is an epidemiologist and senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. She co-wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times about what she calls a smarter approach to mask mandates. Dr. Nuzzo, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get to what you'd like to see us think about before imposing new mask mandates, what are you seeing out there right now? How are you seeing them being used as we deal with Delta?
Well, we're increasingly seeing them. And, you know, this is reflecting the fact that basically almost every state is seeing a resurgence of cases that's worse in the states with lower vaccination than the states that have higher vaccination. But nonetheless, we are seeing a rise in cases across the country. And, you know, this is prompting concerns that we're headed in the wrong direction and having health officials look at what we can do to, you know, bring the case numbers back to in the direction we'd like to see them, particularly as we're entering the school year. I think that's the one of the big concerns is how can we make sure we can ensure that our kids can get back into the classroom and keep them there.
I don't think anybody super wants to mandate masks indoors at the local or state level. What are the thresholds you are looking at where you'd say, yeah, it's time to go with this measure, even if we're not that happy about it?
Well, it's not really a threshold in terms of absolute numbers. I mean, certainly when you have rapidly accelerating case numbers and you don't really know what's driving it, you usually don't have a choice but to implement the blunt tools that we had to use earlier in the pandemic, things like universal mask requirements indoors and things like that. That said, we are in different circumstances. And for places that aren't in an absolute crisis that do have a little bit of time, I think it's really important for them to try to understand what environments are driving their transmission and then to come up with measures that are targeted at those environments. And a good example of it, thinking about locally in Washington, D.C., some health clubs were complaining that the district had returned to an indoor mask mandate and people have to, when they go to the gym, now have to wear a mask while they're working out, which is obviously not a very fun thing to have to do. But nonetheless, people who can go to bars and restaurants and while they're eating and drinking and literally standing inches away from each other, they're not going to be wearing a mask. And so the question is, does making people wear a mask in a gym where there may be other tools that could be used, like perhaps increasing the distancing, improving the ventilation, et cetera, does that make sense? Or should we be thinking about restrictions in the places, say, if it's restaurants, we don't know. It certainly was earlier in the pandemic. Would restrictions targeted at those environments have more of an effect?
We heard from Mayor Barrett of Milwaukee there. And as I said in the setup, his priority is still trying to encourage vaccination. Masks, not the top priority, but just another tool in the toolkit. What do you think of that priority? Vaccinations being the main thing we're trying to encourage right now.
Absolutely. Vaccinations trump all. And even if you're hearing about a potential return to masks for everyone, regardless of vaccination status, really the concern is about the unvaccinated. And the fact that the unvaccinated are the ones that continue to need to wear masks. Unfortunately, in public spaces, it's difficult to tell who's vaccinated and who's not. And that's why you are starting to see a return to mask requirements for all. but it's not about protecting the vaccinated. It's about protecting those who aren't. So I absolutely support health officials' efforts to try to get as many people as possible vaccinated. If you qualify, please don't wait. Please get vaccinated. Now is the time. It not only helps you, but it helps the rest of your community and hopefully prevents us from having to go back to those state of restrictions that none of us like or want.
Talking to Dr. Jennifer Nuzzo with the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, epidemiologist there, talking about the idea of mask mandates when they might be appropriate, when they aren't the most useful tool. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Nuzzo, somebody might hear this and think, okay, your numbers are going up. Why not just err on the side of caution? Better safe than sorry, wide-ranging mask mandates for everybody. What's the problem with that?
Oh, absolutely. If you're that person, please do wear a mask. There's no harm, and if you enjoy wearing it. The worry that I have is more for people who have been on the fence about getting a vaccine, and now they hear that everybody's got to wear a mask regardless. I will tell you, as someone who spends a lot of time talking to people who are on the fence or not yet convinced about getting a vaccine, the prospect of everybody having to wear a mask has sent a bit of a, it's caused a bit of a dampening in potential enthusiasm. I want to underscore that the need to get vaccinated remains, and that people who are unvaccinated are far more at risk of contracting an infection and winding up in the hospital and dying from this virus than anybody who's vaccinated, masks use or otherwise. Again, you know, at this stage of the pandemic, we hope that we have better data to have more targeted approaches to controlling the spread of the virus so that we don't eliminate incentives for people to get vaccinated.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jesse is with us in Appleton. Jesse, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I feel that this is such an important topic that you have here. Unfortunately, I mean, I'm not against the vaccination, but I was born with bad lungs and I have a lot of breathing problems. And I'm not that out of shape, but it's just always been with me. And I'm terrified to get this disease or this virus. And I just don't understand why people... it is uncomfortable. It's awful. It sucks. It's hot, you know, but if it's for the better of the everybody in the country and this gets under control, I don't know why I'm embarrassed that my fellow Americans are just being like spoiled babies.
Jesse, thanks a lot for the call. Jennifer, Jesse, worried about people with like herself, maybe with a condition that might make her more vulnerable to COVID, saying, hey, maybe that should get the masks back on a little faster.
Yeah, and that's exactly one of the concerns. And that's why I think you're seeing a lot of jurisdictions because, you know, while the people who are vaccinated are largely protected, we do worry about people who have underlying health conditions who may need additional protection beyond what the vaccine offers. And that's probably one of the reasons why the FDA is, you know, now potentially recommending boosters for people who are immunocompromised and have underlying health conditions. But, you know, masks best when you know they're worn, and they're worn by the people who need to wear them. And you know, we aren't yet in many places at a point of having a high enough level of vaccination where we can stop worrying about the unvaccinated not complying with masking. And I think that's why you're seeing places respond to these kind of reverse to these sort of blunter tools. That said, I, you know, continue to worry about people who may be exposed in environments where compliance with masks may not be high. Before I referenced restaurants and bars, I also worry about people, you know, gathering in social settings in people's homes where, you know, people are not likely to wear masks. And so I think we just need to have a bit of a more nuanced understanding of where people are getting sick. Other countries collect these data and they make them available. And I think there's no reason why we couldn't do that. We have them, these data in some instances, and they're not made public. I think it would help boost people's confidence about the public health recommendations that are being made so that people can make decisions for themselves by seeing the data for themselves.
We're talking about mask mandates, when they make sense, when they don't. Our guest co-wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times saying we need to think carefully before issuing new orders, use them strategically. Jennifer Nuzzo is an epidemiologist and senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and or questions on the topic. Let's go back to your calls now. Nancy is with us in Menominee. Nancy, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Nancy?
Well, a couple of things. One is that, of course, I'd like you to remind everybody that Governor Evers has been ordered by the Supreme Court not to issue any more mask mandates unless he has the legislator's approval. I'm sure you're aware of that. And then I'd like to ask the doctor to her opinion about this Alberta, Canada situation where the gentleman was fined for not wearing social distancing and he took the city to court, and the health officer for Alberta, Canada was not able to provide any material evidence that the virus has been isolated. I guess it went all the way up to the Queen's Court, which I don't really know what that means. But if they can't isolate the virus, how can they talk about variants, and how could they even make a vaccine?
Nancy, thanks for the call. I'm not familiar with that case, but the virus has been isolated and genetically mapped. You know what the virus is, right, Dr. Nuzzo?
Yes, for sure. I'm not quite sure what that case is either. But, you know, I think the larger question is points to one of compliance. So there's mask mandates and, you know, you could say everyone needs to wear a mask, and then there's do people actually do it. It was really interesting. One of the first places that implemented a mask mandate was Los Angeles, in part because they had one of the sort of earlier sort of resurgence of cases. And law enforcement there basically said that they weren't going to enforce the mask mandate. They didn't think it was, a good use of their time. And I think there were some kind of political disagreements about the value of it. But it speaks to the fact, and this is, again, why we need data. You could put a mandate out, but if people choose not to follow it, then you have a choice. You could either arrest people or, you know, give them a fine or whatever, or you could give them data that shows them why you think it's in their best interest.
Before I go back to our callers, Dr. Nuzzo, I want to get your thoughts on a large portion of our population that is unvaccinated because they can't be vaccinated yet, and they're about to gather together in the same place, school kids age 12 and under, not currently eligible to get vaccines. What do you think about masks in those situations, in those schools for kids 12 and under?
Well, I think about that topic a lot because I have two children that fall into that category who I am very hopeful will be able to return to school 5 days a week. You know, I think a number of parents are worried about, you know, their children having to wear masks. I know my children, having been outside for most of the summer and having had breaks from masks in the outside environments, are not really thrilled with the thought of going back to school and wearing them. But, you know, I think there are a number of operational advantages to keeping masks in place for the time being. The one being that above all, we have to get kids back into school and to keep them there. And if masks allow us to do that, to make teachers and other parents feel comfortable, particularly for, you know, the more vulnerable kids that also have to go to school, I think there's some advantages there. And then also, if there are exposure events in the classroom, having people had masks adds a layer of protection. That said, I have been critical of CDC guidance on masking in the classrooms because it doesn't specify when we get to stop. And I think that that's really important because not everybody is enthusiastic about their kids wearing masks. Kids aren't enthusiastic about wearing masks. We need to understand the conditions in which we are going to say it's okay. Are we waiting for a pediatric vaccine for kids under 12? Is that the end point? We don't know if we're going to have one. I'm very hopeful that we will, but we don't know. Are there certain levels of transmission that are low enough such that we think the odds of the virus coming to school are so small that we don't need them? I think it's really important for us to define off ramps. Otherwise, people will feel like this is never ending, and why bother anyway?
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Johnny is with us in Sparta. Johnny, hello.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Johnny?
Yeah, I think that mask mandates are necessary right now. They are necessary because this virus has mutated. The first, I think, the alpha variant, it didn't affect kids as much and younger people. But the more this virus mutates and have kids, it needs a host to spread. And when you have all these people unmasked, you don't know what their vaccination status is. And to have that going inside of a classroom, these kids are coming from different homes where parents have different beliefs. And if there aren't masks in there, that's going to have the kids to take it back to their homes. And this thing will – then it will never get over. And it's going to continue to mutate until you get to the Zulu variant. And I fear that at that point, you know, vaccinations won't help. And I'm afraid of that. And no one wants to wear a mask. No one. I don't think there's anyone who wants to walk around with a mask. So to me, I think that we should.
Johnny, thanks a lot for the call. So Johnny worried, Dr. Nuzzo, not just about, you know, the spread of the disease itself, but the more people who catch it, the more opportunities to come up with new and potentially more quick spreading and dangerous variants.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That is the real concern, though. The pathway out of that is vaccination. Masks help buy us time. But really, to make sure that doesn't happen, we need to vaccinate people. So absolutely. And certainly, you know, I think there's a number of reasons why you're seeing school districts requiring masks for exactly the reason that the caller mentioned. But when I raise the question of whether mask mandates are required, you know, certainly I think in certain environments like schools, it makes a lot of sense. But, you know, whether you need to say everyone in all public, you know, indoor environments needs to wear a mask or not, you know, there's clearly no downside to having to wear a mask unless you don't like to wear a mask, other than potentially, you know, discouraging unvaccinated people from going out and getting the vaccine. But the condition that I'm actually worried about is that earlier in the pandemic, there were signals that certain environments may be driving transmission of the virus. Things like gathering with family members, social events inside of people's homes, going to bars and restaurants. Those are actually places that are not likely to be touched by mask mandates. And if those are the places that are still driving transmission, and again, this is why we need contact tracing data, which health departments, you know, should make public. If those are the places, then I just worry that the surge of cases that we're seeing may not be slowed enough by just telling everybody to wear a mask when they go to the grocery store.
Talking to Dr. Jennifer Nuzzo from the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security about masks and mask mandates. Back to your calls now with Tom in Stevens Point. Tom, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What did you want to ask about, Tom?
Well, I used to work in general surgery, and we used to use N95 masks when it was appropriate, but we always changed masks between patients, never ever reused a mask. The other point, and I don't want to be vulgar, but I want to point out two things. One, if you're wearing a mask and someone passes gas next to you and you can smell it, that means that that is getting through your mask. And the virus is much smaller than passing gas. And so the current masks on the market don't work, and if you use an N95, you should be changing that every single day.
Tom, thanks a lot for the call. Dr. Nuzzo, as I understand it, we're not so much worried about can a virus pass through the mask, but can the water droplets that the virus is kind of hitchhiking on are getting in and out of the mask. Am I right about that?
Well, we're worried about both, but we're not necessarily worried about individual viral particles, but clumps of viruses, which, you know, are larger than just, you know, molecules of gas. But, you know, also, listen, no one intervention is perfect. We talk about them as being layered, and each layer adds a level of protection. The thickest layer of protection you can apply is a vaccine. Masks are another layer of protection. They work better the more people wear them. So not just the person wearing it to protect him or herself, but the person that they are going to be around whose infection status is unknown. Hopefully it all adds up to a higher level. You know, it certainly does add up to a higher level of protection.
Thanks for the call, Tom. In our last minute, Dr. Nuzzo, we've been talking about kind of more social approaches and mandates at city or state levels. Can you leave us with your thoughts for individuals as we see the Delta variant, as we see numbers go up? What advice do you have for people to stay safe and still enjoy life as much as they can while staying safe?
Yeah, well, first thing, have I said it enough? Please get vaccinated. If you are eligible, please, please, please get vaccinated. And if you are someone who's vaccinated, please talk to your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors. Talk to them. The data shows that people respond best to people that they know and trust and not necessarily unnamed experts that they heard on the radio. So I hope that we can all have conversations with our loved ones. There's a lot of great resources out there to help bring some information to those conversations. But I can tell you in the conversations that I've had, sometimes it's just important to hear people's fears about the vaccine. That is the first thing you can do. If you're in a situation where, you know, I think the people who probably feel the most anxious right now are people who have kids who are too young to be vaccinated. I'm in that boat. What I do with my kids is we try to stay outside as much as possible and try to find fun activities that are outdoors. When we do go to public spaces indoors, we all wear masks, my kids certainly, but the parents do, just to show solidarity with them as well. Hopefully we can take advantage of the summer and warmer months before it gets to be too cold to try to do as much socializing outdoors as possible.
Dr. Nuzzo, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Nuzzo is an epidemiologist and senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. We talked to her today about specific factors that she says officials need to consider when issuing mask mandates.